Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Aren't you tired of ending up time after time in the same place, dealing with the same guilt? What if there was a way to stop falling to the same temptations and to stop living with those same regrets? What if we could live a different path and at a higher level? Maybe there is. And we're going to talk about that today as we continue our series called Retro Arcade, in which we're looking at some old video games and seeing if there's anything we can learn from them about life and God and how we should live. And today we're continuing with the game Pitfall. Does anyone remember Pitfall? Are you as old as me? Yeah, you remember Pitfall? So the game manual, if you bought it, would read like this. This was the directions. It says, "Danger lurks at every turn as Pitfall by Activision." That's funny. "Brings a jungle no man's land to life for your Intellivision." Many of you are like, what in the world are these? We're Intellivision. "Jump into the shoes of Pitfall Harry as he leads you on an incredible adventure in search of lost treasures. You'll race against time through this hostile jungle, fighting off hungry crocodiles, deadly snakes and scorpions, treacherous tar pits and quicksand. Run, leap, swing from vines, and with any luck, you might even survive." So basically, the game was avoid the traps to get the treasures. It was a game. Avoid the traps to get the treasures. The main character was Pitfall Harry, who looked suspiciously like Indiana Jones. I'm pretty sure they made an Indiana Jones game, went to Indiana Jones people, said, can we call it? No, you can't. It's like, all right, Pitfall Harry. And so he goes into the wild jungle in search of lost treasure. And there are obstacles everywhere. There's a 20-minute time limit in which he can look for the 32 lost treasures. We're talking about like bags of money and bars of gold and silver. But the problem in this hunt for treasure is that there are all kinds of pitfalls. And so there were pits covered with twigs that you might fall into, and there were booby traps that would kind of lift you up and you'd be dangling from a net. There were trip wires that would dispense weapons and shoot at you. And so this game really, it's a lot like life, right? In life, we get on a path. We choose the path. The Bible says that God has a path for us that he wants us to go down. And the Bible says that if we follow that path, our life will become like fulfilling and an adventure. So like one verse in Jeremiah chapter 29 in the Old Testament, verse 11, we'll put it on the screen for you. God is talking. He says, "I know the plans I have for you." And this is declares the Lord, "plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So God said, hey, listen, I have a great path for you if you just choose it. You might ask, well, what's the path? What is God's path for my life? Someone asked Jesus that question basically once, and here was his answer. He said, God's path is love God and love people. Like, that's what God is after in your life and my life. His path is for us to love God and love people. If we take that path, that is the path that will prosper us and give us hope and give us a future and fulfill us and give us great adventure. It's putting God first, other people before ourselves, and then yourself. And that runs counter to everything we've ever been taught in our culture and to something deeply selfish inside of us, right? We've been taught, and there's something inside of us that wants to live for me. You know, it's like, I need to look out for number one, because if I don't look out for me, who's going to look out for me? And God says, no, that's just not the deal. The deal is love God and love people. Don't worry about yourself. But God says, listen, if you love me and love other people, you won't need to worry about yourself because God promises that he'll take care of you. So Jesus was talking once. You can check this out in Matthew chapter 6. He said, if you seek God first, God will take care of all your other needs. So the path is love God and love people. On that path, there's all kinds of treasure to be had. I'm not talking about bags of money and bars of gold and silver. I'm talking about like a good life. a fulfilling life, the kind of life I think we all want, a life where you know you are loved. Like you just go around every day knowing that you are deeply loved by the one who matters most. A life where you can have a great, healthy marriage and where you live without secrets and without shame. Man, that's freedom. A life where you have like financial stability and peace of mind and this pervasive joy and where you know that your life is leaving a legacy. You're making an impact on this world with your life. In this game of life, there's also a time limit, right? That's like Pitfall. We only get so long. And so ideally, the idea is that we're going to stay on God's path. And if we do, we're going to experience all these treasures. We're going to get treasure. We're going to experience God's blessing along the way in the amount of time that we have. The problem is that there are all kinds of pitfalls along the way for us, right? Life really is kind of like a jungle. Welcome to the jungle. I wish I could sing. I would sing to you guys every week. I would just have like singing times, but I can't sing. But anyway, but it would be easy if it was just like, oh, okay, walk God's path and love God and love people and it will be great and there will be treasures along the way. But that's just not the way it is. There are traps all along the way, temptations, all kinds of things that just drag us away from that path of loving God and loving people. All kinds of temptations to put ourselves first. Right? To make my life about me, not about God, not about other people. All kinds of temptations to not love other people. Every day there's lots of reasons to not love other people. All kinds of temptations to put material things in front of God and other people. There are definitely pitfalls on the path, and they cause a lot of people to miss out on the treasures or just to walk away from that path altogether. And so the game manual might read this for us. It might be exactly the same. Avoid the traps to get the treasure. That's what we need to do. We need to avoid the traps to get the treasure. One question you might ask is, where do these pitfalls come from? You know, the traps, the temptations that lead us away from loving God and loving people. Where do they come from? Most of them just come from our own misplaced desires. There's a book in the New Testament of the Bible called James. And in the book of James, there's this discussion of temptation. And we'll put on the screen for you. By the way, if you don't own a Bible, we'd love to just give you one as a free gift. There's no catch or cost or anything weird. There's just a stack of Bibles at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. If you'd like to meet someone today, there's people back there. I'd love to meet you. If you'd rather not, that's fine. Just grab a Bible, our gift to you. So in the book of James, in chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, says this. It says, and remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So according to this passage, who's responsible for the temptations we find, we go against? I am, right? And you are. What happens is often we find ourselves falling into this hole, often the same hole, and not only do we fall into it, I'm the one who dug it, right? I dug the hole and then I fell into the hole. Often it's my own misplaced desires that lead me away from loving God and away from loving people. Sin in the Bible is most often painted simply as a choice that we make. It's a wrong choice. And even when we are tempted by other sources, even when we are kind of lured by someone or something else, still we have the choice to say no. All right, so God has a path for us. We only have a certain amount of time. If we stay on the path, there's all kinds of treasure along the way. But the problem is there's also pitfalls. There's traps that we can fall into, and if we do, we're going to miss out. In fact, when we plunge into those pitfalls, it's really not good. So listen to how the Bible describes this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. It says, we fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Some people have even wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So it's like, here's the brochure for temptation, ruin and destruction. It's like, sign me up, right? But it's true. That's where we find ourselves when we keep kind of going into the same thing. Some of us know it too well, right? Some of us look at our lives, maybe our past, maybe right now, and we're like, man, I hate the things I've done. I hate the things I've done. I hate myself for what I've done. Or maybe you hate where your life is at right now. Maybe you live with regret every day. Pitfalls always mess us up. But we always, when we choose to kind of veer off God's path, we always miss out on blessings that he has for us. But sometimes it's worse. Those verses we looked at said sometimes people will even wander from the faith because of these temptations. See, here's the bottom line. Temptation is why some people will stop following Jesus. Like if you surveyed 100 people who have kind of walked away from their faith and asked them why, you're not going to really hear people talking about how, well, you know, I kind of got reasoned out of my faith by a good intellectual argument. That doesn't really happen. The deal is that people kind of get tired of battling temptation, and finally they give in to temptation, and then they give into it again, and then they start feeling guilty, so they start isolating themselves from their support system and other Christians, and pretty soon they find themselves just kind of drifted away from their faith, and they've walked away from Christianity. That's what tends to happen. So we need to avoid the traps to get the treasures. And I guess the big obvious question is, how do we do that, right? How do we avoid the traps? And I think we want to, right? I can't imagine you'd be here today if that's not something you want. I think we come here, most of us, because like I want to love God. I might not feel like I'm there right now, but I want to love God. I want to live a life that pleases God. I want to love people. I want to live a life that I can be proud of. I want to live a life that other people could look at and consider me an example. I want to live a life that makes a difference. But I keep falling in the same stupid trap. So how do I overcome them? I hate it when people say, hey, there's actually two steps or there's four steps. But I want to tell you two steps. And I really believe that they're absolutely life-changing. They've changed my life. Okay? So here's the first step. First, you need to identify your signature sin. You need to identify your signature sins. So here's the deal with me. See if you're anything like me. I don't wake up each morning and go, I think I'm going to invent some new ways to sin today. I just say I'm going to try something new and crazy. I want to mess my life up in a new way. I don't do that. What I find is I keep doing the same things over and over. Right? The deal with me is, there are a lot of temptations that don't tempt me at all. But there are some temptations that are totally alluring to me and that I tend to fall to time and time again. And there are some temptations that don't tempt you at all. But there are some temptations that you find alluring and you fall to time and time again. So part of this is trying to answer this question, what are my signature sins? What are the repeating patterns in my life where I see myself doing the same thing time and time again? Now, to answer that question, we need to be willing to call sin sin. And I know we don't like the word sin. At least I don't say it the way you do here in some churches where it's like seven syllables. You know, it's like sin, and you kind of like, it's like, oh, he's throwing it at me. I'm not saying that way. But the truth is this, we live in a culture that where we're taught everything's okay and we should tolerate everything about everyone else and ourselves. We need to love ourselves and have good self-esteem. And so nothing's wrong. But the truth is there are things that we do that aren't loving. There are things that we do that aren't keeping us on God's path. There is sin. There's some traps that we keep falling into. The problem is if we don't think of it as wrong, if we just keep justifying it, we're never going to do anything about it. And we continue to live a less than life. And so we need to do it. Does that make sense? So if your area of personal weakness, if your kind of signature sin is gossiping, or overeating, or materialism, or looking at pornography, or if it's pride, or being judgmental of others, or maybe if it's not reading the Bible or not praying. My guess is it's real easy for you to go, is that a big deal? I mean, come on, there's really bad stuff that people, I just don't think what I do is that big a deal, and to kind of just justify it, and it may not seem like a big deal, and you might kind of say, well, it's not hurting anybody, but the reality is it's hurting you. It is. It's not a part of God's path. The Bible says that if what you do isn't motivated by love, it's not what you need to be doing. And when we do that, we're not experiencing the blessings God has for us. We're not living the way we want to live. And the truth is, it's probably hurting other people as well, even if we don't directly see that. And listen, this is important. It's not about following rules. You know, when people go to church, it's like, I know there's rules I have to follow, and I'm going to get in line. That's not it. God is not up in heaven saying, please follow the rules, be a better person. I need you to be more moral. That is not it at all. You have a God of love who loves you, who wants the best life for you, wants you to live a life of love. And when we don't do what God has for us, we're not loving God and we're not loving people. If I'm gossiping, I can pretend that's not a big deal, but I am not loving the person I'm talking about. If I'm materialistic, there's something in me that's not loving God and people. If I look at pornography, man, I wouldn't want someone to look at my daughter the way I'm looking at that guy's daughter. There's something in me that's not loving, right? And when I don't pray and don't read my Bible, it's not about you didn't do your religious obligation. I'm missing out on opportunities to feel loved by God. I'm missing out on opportunities to express and to grow my love for God. So the first thing we need to do is to identify our signature sins. What are the patterns in our lives? And be willing to call sin, sin. Just say, you know what? That's something I need to stop doing. Maybe the whole world says it's okay, but I know it's not what's best for me, and God says it's not what's best for me. Okay, first step. Second step is that we need to memorize some signature Bible verses. We need to memorize some signature Bible verses, and you'll get why in a minute. And the reason why is because this whole thing is about ruts. The whole thing, your whole life, if you looked at your life and really examined it, you realize my whole life is about ruts. It's about habitual patterns. My whole life. I'm from Buffalo, New York. That never gets a cheer. Got a little bit of a something over there. All right. Wow, that's shocking. Usually people start booing and going, ew, and stuff like that. But Buffalo is right next to Canada. And no offense if you're from Canada, but Canada's even worse than Buffalo. And that's saying something. It's just freezing there, right? They say there's two seasons in Canada. There's winter and there's July. Right? And it's really wet in Canada. And so what happens is it gets all wet. There's all this snow, freezes over. Finally, it melts. And there's a lot of rural areas in Canada. And so you got dirt roads and people start driving on the dirt roads and they start to form ruts. And then winter comes and those ruts will actually freeze. And there's one town in Canada that's true. They have a sign when you enter their town that says, choose your ruts carefully because you'll be in them for the next 20 years. I don't know about that, but for a lot of us, if we look at our lives, we realize I've been in the same rut for the last 20 years. I've been doing the same thing. I don't want to do it. I don't like it. I don't like myself because of it. And I've been doing the same thing for 20 years. And if you look back, I bet you'd realize, just like me, that you go, you know what? The first time I did it, I felt horrible. And I thought it was wrong and I was embarrassed. And then the second time, I felt pretty bad. And then after a while, I stopped feeling bad, and I just started thinking it was normal, and I didn't even really think about it, I've been doing it now for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and I forgot how I felt in the beginning when I felt bad and realized it wasn't good. And the deal is that what happened is you got into a rut, right? Our minds, and it's all about our minds are kind of like vultures. If you think about it, so a vulture is this bird that goes around looking for the scent of dead, rotting carcass. And what it will do is it will fly through the sky just sniffing until finally it sniffs some rotting carcass and it will start doing circles. And you'll see a vulture just kind of go this big circle and it gets a tighter circle because it's identifying that's where it is. And it'll just get tighter and tighter until, boom, it's face down and dead. Roadkill, right? And our minds are a lot like a vulture. What happens is when this temptation, this thing that's alluring to us, when we see it, but we start doing these circles around it, and our minds will go into the same patterns, we'll think the same thoughts, we'll make the same justifications, and we'll end up in the same place time after time. So for instance, let's do an example or two. Let's say your weakness is materialism. You shop, you don't need more stuff, you just keep buying more stuff, you don't know why, but you just do. So you're walking through the mall, you're going there to buy presents for other people, but as you walk, you see this pair of shoes in the window, and you think, those are kind of nice, but then you think, oh, I'm here for other people, I've got credit card debt, I can't do that, but you kind of slow down, you're like, well, I wonder how much they cost, and you look at how much they cost, and it's like, $300, and you're like, ooh, that's a lot, and I can't afford that. But, man, would those shoes go great with a dress I'm wearing for that Christmas party. But I shouldn't. But, that's why you have credit cards. I mean, I can't afford it, but I can put it on my credit card. And you know, I don't think anyone else has shoes like this. And pretty soon you find yourself face down in more credit card debt at the cash register, right? You just started circling. You got tighter and tighter, and you fell into that same rut, that same pattern that you always do. Or let's say that your personal weakness, your signature sin is lust. And so one night you're watching a game and the game ends. So you start just flipping through the channels, seeing what else is on. And you hit a channel and you're like, oh, what do we have here? But you think, nope, I've decided I don't want to do that. And that's some guy's daughter. That's some guy's wife. And so you keep going. But then you go around this big circle till you hit it again. And you go around another circle and you hit it again. And then now you know what channel it's on. It's like 236 or whatever it is. And so you go a few channels and then you actually type in the number. Now you're getting tighter, right? And you hit 236, you go to that channel. And then you go like up one, but then you can go like to channel recall and be back on that channel. And pretty soon you're like stuck on that channel and you're going straight downhill. It's a rut. It's a habitual pattern that you created years ago and you've continued to go down that same rut. Here's what we need to do. We need to create new ruts. The way we think that we get out of our issues, out of our problems, is willpower. Right? We all think that. When you've decided, I'm going to stop smoking, I'm going to start going on a diet, whatever it is, you decided it, and you like powered up and said, I'm going to do this, right? Willpower. Let me tell you this. Habits beat willpower every time. Okay? Willpower might win a battle or two, but habit will eat the willpower for lunch. Eventually, the habit is going to win that war, and you're like, I'm doing it again. Oh, that's just who I am, I guess. I'm back in the same pattern. What you need to do is create a new rut, a new pattern. It's the only way you're going to be able to beat your old pattern. So, how do you create a new rut? What do we do? The Bible talks about how this is all about our mind. So there's a verse in a book called Romans chapter 12. It says that what we need to do is be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to be changed by the renewing of our, so it's almost like we need to reprogram our minds, right? But we need to create new ruts in our minds. There's another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I think we're going to put on the screen. It says that we need to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So it's like, I'm not going to just have these crazy, random, rebellious thoughts that lead me on a path away from God's path of loving God and loving people. Every thought I have is going to be brought back into this life that I want to live of love, okay? I'm going to take every thought. So how do we do that? How do we reprogram our mind so that we start living this life that we want to live, loving God, loving people, experiencing God's blessings? We do it by memorizing Bible verses. There may be other ways. I don't know them. I've been doing this for 24 years. This is the way I know to do it. There's a guy named Dallas Willard. He died last year, but until that time, he was a professor at USC, and he was one of the most respected Christians and Christian thinkers in the world. By far. And one time somebody asked me, he was like an authority, like a guru on spiritual growth and how do I grow in my life? How do I grow closer to God? Somebody asked him, what's the one thing people need to do? Like if there's one thing, just one thing somebody's going to do, what is the thing that will best promote spiritual growth and more, you know, spiritual vitality in our lives? And he said, the one thing is memorizing chunks of the Bible. If you do nothing else, do that. Because as we learn those Bible verses, it renews our mind. It's kind of like we're learning to think a new way. And what's really powerful is when you memorize verses that apply specifically to your signature sins. Okay, not just like random, this is a cool verse, but verses that apply to your signature sins. So they're kind of like your signature verses, right? But because what those verses will do is you can use those to help you to create a new rut. So when you fall, so when you find that same temptation, instead of falling into the same pattern, you now have a new pattern to fall into, which is what we need, all right? By the way, you might say, I don't know the Bible well enough to know what Bible verses to memorize. I mean, I know what my problem is. I have a problem with this. I don't know what the Bible verses are on it. There's a couple things you can do. There's a website called BibleGateway.com, BibleGateway.com. And if you go there, there's like a keyword search. And so you can be like, okay, gossip, and put gossip in, and it will give you a list of every time the word gossip appears in the Bible. You could also, if you just Google verses about whatever your problem is, verses about, I'm trying to think of something funny and nothing's coming to me. Verses about whatever, there's going to be like, somebody has put together a list of verses about your problem and about my problem, okay? So you can find that, or if you want, you could email me and say, hey, give me some verses on this, and I'd be like, oh, cool. That's a fun thing for me to do, to be able to help people like that. So you also might say, Vince, I'm not good at memorizing things. So like, I know I'm going to have my temptation problem like this week. I'm not going to have like Bible verses memorized by this week. This is the power of 3x5 cards. I've been doing this since like the day I became a Christian. So what you do is you write the verses that you want to memorize on 3x5 cards. And until you have them memorized in your brain that you don't need them anymore, you just carry your cards. When I'm at stoplights, when I'm in line at grocery stores, I would just read these cards until I had them in my brain. So I'm like, I got it now, so that you fall into a new pattern. So let's say how this works. Your problem is materialism. You're walking through the mall. You're planning on buying stuff for other people. You've got some serious credit card debt. You don't want to buy anything for yourself, but then you see those shoes. And your old pattern would be start circling and like making justifications, and all of a sudden you're buying the shoes. But now, you're not going to battle that with willpower. You're going to create a new rut to fall into. And if you have to, you will be using the cards to create it. So you see those shoes and you go, and then you go, where's my cards? And you grab your cards and you go, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Okay, God, I need to learn to be content and not need more stuff. And then you read your second verse in this new rut, Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you're like, God, whatever I spend my money on is what I'm going to care about. And God, I don't want to care about clothes. Help me not to spend money on clothes. And then you read your next verse, Matthew 6:19-20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. God, I want to spend my money more on things that last than on shoes. God, help me not to do this. And then you find you're walking away from the store instead of into it. And you read your last verse, or you memorize it. So you say it to yourself, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so you're praying, going, God, I can't do this on my own, but if you strengthen me and give me power, I can do this. So help me to do this. See how that works? You have a new pattern, a new rut to fall into. Or let's say your issue is lust and you're watching the game ends, you start flipping through and you see whatever it is on whatever channel it is, and you're like, and your old pattern will be start circling, all of a sudden that's what you're watching, even though you don't want to like have those sort of thoughts about some other guy's daughter, because I don't want you having those thoughts about my daughter, right? And so in the past you would have ended up there, but now you have a new pattern you can fall into. So you pull out your cards or you remember your verses and you think Matthew 5:28, Jesus said, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And you're like, I don't want to commit adultery with this woman on TV in my heart. And then you read Job 31, verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. You're like, God, I committed to live a life that's better than this. Don't let me fall back in the same old trap. And then you read your last verse, Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. The one may be overpowered, but two can defend themselves. And you get your phone out and you call the guy in your microgroup who you have this agreement with, and you say, sorry, dude, I know it's late, you're probably sleeping, but we promise each other that when we fall, when we have this temptation in front of us, we're going to call each other. I'm being tempted right now. Pray for me and call me tomorrow and make sure I didn't screw up. And so you realize I'm not doing this alone. You see how that works? You renew your mind by taking captive every thought and bringing it back into this place where you're like, I want to live a life of love. If I stay on this path of loving God, loving people, there is so much treasure to be had. And one of the most powerful tools to do it is not your willpower. You are just not that strong. I'm sorry, I'm not either. You'll win for a day or two, and then you'll find yourself back eating a whole thing of ice cream or whatever your problem is. And so what we're going to do is we're going to create a new rut, because we're always going to live out our habits. We're going to create a new rut. And the best way I know to do it, I think it might be the only way I know to do it, is to memorize Bible verses. And what will happen is you will avoid the traps and you'll get the treasure. You'll avoid the traps and you'll get the treasure. And man, how amazing would that be? How amazing would it be to live a life where you put your head on your pillow and close your eyes knowing, I don't think I was perfect, but I think I pleased God today. And you realize, I'm pretty proud of like how I lived today. I feel good about it. I don't have regrets tonight. How free would you be? And to realize, you know what, if other people look at my life, even if they knew everything, like, I'd feel okay about that. Like I'm not perfect, but I'm totally heading the right direction, and I think other people could follow my example. And you're experiencing God's blessings. Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. And with God's help, you can do that. And some of you might feel like, Vince, I am really far from that right now. With God's help, you can totally do that. Identify your signature sins and memorize some signature verses to create a new rut so that you can get on a new path that will lead you to a new life lived at a higher level. And that would be amazing. And with God's help, you can do that. So let me pray for us for that right now. Let's pray. God, my guess is that every one of us could look back over the last weeks or months or years, or for some of us decades, and just see these repeating patterns. Like, man, I keep doing the same stupid thing. I keep falling in the same trap. How long am I going to live my life at a lower level? How long am I going to live my life in a way that I regret and I feel bad and my relationships aren't what they should be? God, what if today we made a decision to take a different path? And we probably can't do that on our own, but you are available to help us. And the truth is, we're going to live out our habits, but what if we create some new habits? God, we can do this. And my prayer is that you help us to take this seriously, to not just think it was a good idea, but to actually act on it and to experience new life and be able to thank you for what you've done in our lives, because we know that it would be you who did it for us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.